What must we do differently? In a word, I want to say we must embrace, it's not a word, but it's a phrase, we must embrace complexity theory. We must understand complex systems. We live in a world of complex systems. The environment is a complex system. The government is a complex system. Financial markets are complex systems. The human mind is a complex system. Most minds, at least. By a complex system, I mean one in which the elements of the system interact among themselves such that any modification we make to the system will produce results that we cannot predict in advance. Furthermore, a complex system is sensitive to initial conditions. You can get one result from it on one day, but the identical interaction the next day will yield a different result. We cannot know with any certainty how the system will respond. Third, when we do something to a complex system, we may get downstream consequences that emerge weeks or even years later. We must be watchful of delayed and untoward consequences. The science that underlies our understanding of complex systems is now 30 years old. A third of a century is plenty of time for this knowledge to filter down to everyday consciousness. But except for slogans like the butterfly flapping its wings and causing a hurricane halfway around the world, not much has really penetrated general human thinking. On the other hand, complexity theory has raced through the financial world. It has been briskly incorporated into medicine. But organizations that care about the environment do not seem to notice that their administrations are deleterious in many cases. Lawmakers do not seem to notice when their laws have unexpected consequences. Governors and mayors and managers may manage their complex systems well or badly. But if they manage well, it is usually because they have an instinctive sense of how to deal with complex systems. Other managers fail. Why? Our human predisposition is to treat all systems as linear when they're not. A linear system is a rocket ship flying to Mars, or a cannonball fired from a cannon. Its behavior is quite easily described mathematically. A complex system is water gurgling over rocks or air flowing over a bird's wing. The mathematics are complicated, and in fact, no understanding of these systems was possible at all until the widespread availability of computers. One complex system that most people have dealt with is a child. If so, you probably experienced that when you give the child an instruction, you can't be certain what the response will be. This is especially true if the child is a teenager. One day they may do as they're told, the next day they may leave the house. Run away, join the circus, or whatever it is that they do now. And similarly, you can't be sure that an identical interaction on another day won't have spectacularly different outcomes. If you have a teenager, or if you invest in the stock market, you know that a complex system cannot be controlled. It can only be managed. Because the behavior cannot be predicted, it can only be observed and responded to. The system may resist attempts to change its state. It may show resiliency or fragility. But a very important feature of complex systems is that we don't know how they work. We don't understand them, we just interact with them. Whenever we think we understand them, we learn that we don't, sometimes spectacularly. What then happened in Yellowstone? My answer is people thought they understood the system. They were wrong. Let's look back to the 1970s, the Club of Rome's volume, Limits of Growth. It has this slide, I've left it yellowing to show age. It has this chart to explain what regulates fertility, which is agreeably simple. The problem is this, in 1995, my classmate Joel Cohen said, most professional demographers no longer believe they can predict precisely the future growth rate, size, composition, and spatial distribution of populations. Here's another chart from the Club of Rome, which it's one of my favorite, because you see it doesn't really have axes that are labeled anyway. It's just a kind of diagram of what might happen or what the computer wants to suggest. those feedback loops of population and capital services and resources and so on. Now, the point is, this is highly simplified thinking, and it goes on to this day. Here's a modern chart from a modern sustainability website. It shows the relationships of pretty much everything. Lithosphere, biosphere, market, community, customers, everything. Again, agreeably simple. Who makes a chart like this? Who thinks the world operates in the least like this? Because it doesn't explain the world. One side of this equation is not the other. And in truth, what I wanted to show you is that this chart, and there's gazillions of these kinds of charts in environmental literature. This chart is absurdly simple. For example, here's a more complex chart which shows the wiring diagram of the stomach of the lobster. Quite a bit more complicated. Here is a chart, this is a Google chart of interactions of organizations that are involved in the Human Genome Project. A lot of even more complicated. But it reminds us actually that in financial markets, we all know that we can't explain how these operate. We all know that if you were to make a single change in, say, increase the price of crude oil or charge a White House aide with a felony, you couldn't be sure exactly how the financial system would react. Nobody knows that. In fact, here's one of the this is the New York Times authoritative, and it says that we can't even be sure one of the primary qualities of our own economic system, whether productivity is going up or down. Now, if we can't even understand the basic aspects of our own systems, what makes anybody think that we can understand natural systems that are thousands of times more complicated? Because they are. Let's take a little tour of natural complexity. Here's a sequence of chemical changes, the ATP cascade, which produces energy within the cell. That's sometimes called the Krebs cycle. As you can see, one chemical chain reaction in one cell is more complicated than that original diagram. Here is the mitochondria in which these chemical reactions take place. This is an electron micrograph from my old teacher, Don Fawcett at Harvard. Here is a cutaway view of the structure of the mitochondria, which some of you may know is a cell that has been included in the cell and respecialized, blah, blah, blah. This is the organelle that makes energy. Here is an electron micrograph of heart muscle, important to all of us, and these are the mitochondria packed within in between the muscle cells, so important for our heart. Heart pumps blood, and inside the red cells there is a molecule, hemoglobin, which as you see is far more complicated than the original drawing that showed us everything in the world. A single molecule in a single cell is more complicated than that drawing of the whole world. Here's another view of the hemoglobin molecule, to make that point again. Heart pumps these red cells, and how it does it, it's driven by an electrical stimulus. It spreads across the muscle in a very complex way, a way that is now understood with the help of complexity theory. Let me see if I can make this work. This is a study from Duke University showing how the electrical impulses spreads across cardiac muscle. It's 5 years old, so it's hardly cutting edge. And my point is that this kind of understanding of natural processes is precisely what has been missing from environmental thought. 30 years after complexity theory has become of groundbreaking importance in all the sciences, I think it's time for environmentalism to catch up. Stop worrying about decarbonization, which is taking care of itself, and start worrying about Yellowstone, which isn't. So, what happened at Yellowstone? I would say somebody really believed that the world operated like this, and they acted on that belief. Kill the wolves, save the elk. Move the grizzlies, avoid the lawyers. And so on. It's this kind of thinking that has to go. But I'm afraid we haven't learned that lesson. We're still killing animals to save other animals. This is an article talking about how wonderful it is that the wolves have been brought back after they're all killed. And for that matter, who believes that the complex system of the atmosphere behaves in such a simple way that if we reduce one component, namely carbon dioxide, we will reduce temperature? Carbon dioxide is not like the accelerator of a car. It's not linear. And by the way, neither is a car accelerator. But who believes that the climate can be stabilized when it's never been stable in the entire Earth's history? We could only have such an idea about stabilization if we don't understand what a complex system really is. And if we don't, we're like the blonde who returned the scarf because it was too tight.